on maynard.com.au. Hey, you! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, butt fans the world over, please make welcome two people that will put the perspective on the new Star Trek movie like a stain on your underpants you can't get out after three washes. Please welcome Jungle Kitty and Leonard Taylor.
Hello, how are you going, Maynard? How are you going?
We want to talk about the schism that has occurred in the Star Trek world, but of course we must remind people that the Look at His Butt podcast is the podcast for the discerning butt fan.
Most certainly, especially the discerning or not so discerning Shatner butt fan.
I got to say, it was great to see a Star Trek movie with a bunch of hotties moving quickly around the screen.
But you know, it lacked tight pants. It really did. We all noticed it.
Skirts weren't short enough. The skirts weren't as short as the 60s version.
And lens flare does not take the place of Kirk light.
There was a bit of Kirk light from time to time, but it was a bit more IKEA department store, the bridge, I thought.
Exactly.
7-Eleven at about 2 a.m.
That bridge setup might be in the new IKEA catalog.
What do you think of Chris Pine now? Last time, I believe the quote was, he was an idiot, was what you thought. What do you think of him now? Now you've seen him with his shirt off doing the stuff with the Green Lady.
We had a long, long, long discussion on our show about Chris Pine as Kirk, and my personal opinion is that he didn't do it for me as Kirk for a lot of reasons, and not all his fault as an actor. He got too many opportunities to be basically an arrogant jerk.
A douchebag.
Young Kirk was a bit like that.
I will accept that, except by the end of the movie, I didn't feel we had seen him develop into anything that merited him being jumped up three ranks and made captain of the Enterprise other than that the movie required it. I wanted to see some signs of him maturing into that leadership role. I've only seen it once. And people keep pointing out things I missed.
I saw a pirated version shot off a Russian screen on my television burnt on a DVD. So let me tell you, you think the lens flare was bad in the movie. You should see it when it's someone filming the movie.
Did you think someone with a bright light was breaking into your house?
But it was used a lot in the movie 2001, so maybe there was some influence there. There is the Shatner scene. Oh, God, I'm calling him Shatner. I shouldn't say that. A Kirk scene where Chris is in the bar there and he says to the ladies, hey, ladies. You pointed out on your show, Look at His Butt, the podcast, Shatner wouldn't do, hey, ladies. He'd just go, hello, ladies. And he would know that they wanted him.
Yes, and it would be obvious to them and to us. I just kind of felt that all of that was overplayed.
I did like Sulu's sword play. I was pretty impressed with that.
Okay.
You guys didn't go much on that. And the fact that they saved each other, I like that fairly on early on there, they saved each other.
Why would they be fighting with swords in that situation? I had a great time at the movie, but I really felt it was a slam-bang action movie with a lot of good Trek in it, but not a great Trek movie.
That was the one scene where the hand-to-hand combat was actually justified. There were other scenes in the movie where there was a lot of punching going on for no particular reason.
Okay, now there's a few things I want to know. When did Captain Kirk start his discount motorcycle franchise? he just pulls up in a motorcycle, joins Starfleet, and gives the bloody motorbike away. And may I point out, I'm not sure he gave away the helmet to go with it.
Over that.
Did he have any footwear he could have given away? Some old underwear he wasn't getting? He could have had a garage sale. There could have been a whole scene about that.
I think it was just somebody else's motorcycle. I think he just stole it.
How did you both feel of the use of the Beastie Boys and the Mustang early on there, driving what would have been, 130-year-old car at that stage? How old would a Mustang have been if it was like a 1971 in the year that was set?
400 years?
Something like that, yeah. That seemed a little out of place. I guess that J.J. Abrams really likes the Beastie Boys, and that's why he put that in.
The other thing I think was a crime against linguistics everywhere was Chekhov's accent.
Encenotrization code 95. Victor 2.
You know what everybody's telling me?
Oh, look, are they saying that he sounded exactly like Triumph Insult Comic Dog?
Such an amazing, impressive array of talent.
For me to poop on!
They are saying that, and I knew this, the kid playing him is the son of, I believe, Russian figure skaters, and that his accent is quite genuine.
Shut me up, then. Well, that shut me up. He's telling everybody why they're going on the mission and there's been these problems and everything. And I just really wanted a voice from the back go, what? Speak up! the Scotty scene. There's a strong parallel between when Scotty ends up in the fluid chamber and Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, because he becomes Augustus Gloomp going right up that pipe. Am I right?
Absolutely. That is absolutely what it's like. I'm surprised that no one has pointed this out before. You're the first one I've heard, and you are 100% correct. That's where they got it from.
What do you think of that little cute little furry thing?
I hated him.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of cute, but I don't know. I don't know if I need cute.
Well, that's just it. It's too cute for Star Trek, and apparently it's going to be a continuing character.
Oh,
and
really?
It was reminding me of those weird little teddy bear things from Star Wars.
It's an Ewok. Yeah, it's an Ewok. That's what people have said.
It also reminded me of the monkey, Debbie the Bloop, on Lost in Space. Remember that? she... Debbie the Bloop mysteriously disappeared after the first season because I strongly suspect the Robinson family had to eat it. Now we've got a limited amount of resources and air on a spaceship. What'll we put? Hey, how about a monkey that goes bloop? For you, what is the best thing about the movie and the worst thing? I'm sure you both have different opinions on this.
The best thing about it was probably... I'm torn between saying Nimoy and the portrayal by Bruce Greenwood of Captain Pike. And for me, the biggest disappointment was Chris Pine.
And who do you think had the best characterization? The actor that played McCoy, I quite liked.
I thought he was outstanding. Yeah, I love him.
But what was the stinkerama element of the movie for you? The bit where he went, oh, no.
Well, I said this on the show, but the very first scene with pregnant Kirk's mother on the starship, I really have to say, honestly, it lost me. The movie completely lost me at that point because it's so ridiculous. It makes no sense. It doesn't work with any Star Trek canon that we've ever seen before. It was clearly a plot contrivance to make all this drama happen. And because it was so unbelievable, I couldn't feel any of the drama or the tension. There was some very good acting throughout that whole scene, and I understood intellectually it was supposed to move me. But it was so bad that I couldn't accept it at all, and it took me, you know, a full 10 minutes to kind of forgive the movie for that error and get back into it.
The two people debating here are Lena Taylor and, of course, Jungle Kitty. Look at His Butt is their podcast. And as well as, of course, knowing lots of butt about Star Trek history, this movie has no doubt caused a schism in the fan world. How are people reconciling that? Now, I know it is a different timeline and they do that quite well with the movie, but how do you guys feel about that and how are the fans feeling about the differences now?
For most, it seems to have sparked their imagination. I know if you read any of the Trek articles online and go to the comments, there are ones that are going to make you laugh your head off. You know, this movie is an abortion and things like that, and lots of misspelling and all caps. So there definitely is a schism, but most of the people I've talked to feel really good that this movie has gotten people excited about Star Trek again and gotten new people into the fandom and excited about what's coming next.
Listen to Look at His Butt podcast. You'll hear these wacky, wacky, wacky bongos and then dinner. There's no porn musicals, are there? I know you guys like to talk about sex toys and stuff and that, but is there actually any adult XXX rated musicals?
Not that I know of, but we have, or I have, and we have watched it, the two Star Trek porn movies.
Sex Trek? What's it called?
Yeah, I think one of them is called Sex Trek, isn't it?
Well, let me open the drawer here where I keep my Star Trek porn. I reorganized my drawers. We had a few friends over to watch it, a few Trekkies. And as I've mentioned on the podcast, my husband is not a Trekkie. And we, you know, there's like six women in the living room watching this porno film. We just started fast-forwarding through the sex to get to the plot. And my husband came through and just... he could not believe it. He said, you are the only people who watch pornography for the story.
There's a great game you can play with that. Was this on VHS tape?
Yes.
Okay, well, what you do is someone pushes the forward button for a random amount of seconds, and before they hit the stop button, people in the room have got to call out porn or plot. And then when they hit the play button, if it's porn or plot, people win or lose like that. Yeah, it's like it's like musical chairs.
Yeah, that's a great game.
Unlike most porn films, it had outtakes at the end.
Oh,
those
that's
were much
cool.
Better than the movie.
And remember, there's a bit of Shatner in all of us.
Absolutely.
Find your inner Shatner.
Live long and keep pregnant women off starships.
Yes, please.
That should be the motto for the next next movie.
That is Elena Taylor and Jungle Kitty. Look at His Butt is the podcast. Go there and be amazed. You'll know something your friends won't.
Thank you, Mina.
Maynard.com.au. Hey, you!